Well, it's good to see everybody out here tonight. Thank you for coming out in the heat to be in the Lord's presence. Father, we just thank you, God, right now for each and every one of us that is here. Lord, we cover each one of us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for your anointing that is here, that does your works. We thank you, God, for this teaching that Pastor Barbara has put together. And God, we give you all honor and glory for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to be talking about tonight, this teaching, is entitled Tattooing and Piercing. This is what we're going to be talking about. And Pastor Barbara had put this teaching together, and she had asked me to give the message on her behalf, so this is not my teaching. This is hers. So part of this teaching is an article by Bud and Betty Miller, Pastors Bud and Betty Miller, on what the Bible says about piercing. So there's some of that in here. I just want to make note of that. So our teaching starts off with the scripture, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now we're going to explain what this means here. Foxes, sometimes in search of food, would enter into the grape orchards and devour the grapes and spoil the crop. However, the little foxes were so small that they could not reach the grape bunches. So they would chew on the vines and it would kill the whole vine. So the little foxes are going to the root and they're destroying it, so the vine can no longer produce anything good, which is worse than if a larger fox had just come and eat the grapes. At least then the vine would still be intact. So instead of the farmer just losing his crop, he would lose his vine, which was more disastrous. Spiritually, some things we do or allow that we might think are little or insignificant can also be disastrous for us. Body piercings of today. Many of the young people in our society here in the USA are embracing a dangerous little fox or seemingly little thing that may seem harmless. The young people are saying that it is a trendy thing to do. You may hear the younger generation say things like, "Well, everyone else is doing it. It's not really that big of a deal." And you may hear them even confess, "You're cool if you do these things, and you're not cool if you don't do them." And this is what this is highlighting. Many of them are showing off multiple ear, nose, tongue, eyebrow, and navel jewels, and rings attached to their pierced flesh. Some even have this done on unspeakable parts of their bodies. These are abnormal and unnatural. As many people are not aware of the spiritual dangers in such practices, this article is not meant to condemn any that may have already had this done. However, we would urge you to seek the Lord as to any further involvement in this practice. So in other words, if you didn't know this, and you already had piercings done, you've already had tattoos, then it's not condemning you for doing those things because you didn't know what the Word of God said before you did it. The Lord loves everyone, no matter what we are currently doing. However, His desire is to show us a better way. And ultimately, this is the Lord's purpose here, is to show all of us a better way. Bible verses concerning piercings and tattoos. Sometimes when you're ministering to somebody, they may ask you, "Show me the scripture where it says I can't or shouldn't get a tattoo or a piercing. And this is going to cover that. The Bible warns us against cuttings in our flesh in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, which says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Our young people do not realize what they are doing has its roots in witchcraft and the practices of false religions. Those that have made trips to other parts of the world have viewed the bodies of those who have not only pierced and tattooed their bodies, but have gone further with mutilating their bodies. Sometimes you'll see, maybe on like the A&E channel, they do like a TV series called Taboo, and they go around the world and show you all these extreme and bizarre things. That's sort of what this is talking about. People go beyond just piercings and tattoos. They really do up their whole body. They're mutilating their body, and they call it art. And this is unhealthy and abnormal, and it's unacceptable. It is repulsive to see someone deform the body that the Lord made in perfection. God made our bodies the way he made each one of us individually and uniquely. And so this is exactly why we shouldn't be twisting that image that God made us in. We're unique and special in God's eyes. The Lord admonishes us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This is saying your body is not your own property. You do not have the freedom and liberty to do with your own body what you want to do with it when you profess to know Jesus Christ and you are a vessel which you're claiming God can work through, because you were bought with a price. Now, here's a common misconception, a mentality that you'll see out there in the world. Salvation is free. Yes. Salvation is a free gift by the grace of God offered to each one of us. But it wasn't free to God. He had to pay a price to offer that salvation to us. That price was the very life of his one and only Son, Jesus. So yes, it's free to us, but it wasn't free for God to offer it to us. So this is why the scripture says you were bought with a price. How many of us, if you go to buy a brand new cell phone and it costs about $1,000, but you want it because it does all these things, when you get it, it's not doing anything you want it to do. How quickly do we return that thing back to the store? You see, this is how God might feel sometimes if we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus and we're not doing what God intends for us to do. You know, he doesn't return us because we're not working right away. So this is God's long-suffering. This is his patience with us. And this is why it's so important to honor God by allowing our vessels to be used according to his word, that we're not doing things that we shouldn't do to and with our bodies. If we are to glorify God in our bodies, how do body piercings glorify Christ? In 1 Kings chapter 18, we find the story of Elijah contesting the evil prophets of Baal, who was a false god of that day, whose followers practiced witchcraft. The prophets of Baal worked themselves into a frenzy, trying to get their god, Baal, to show himself mightier than the true and living God. However, the God of Elijah proved to be the true God. During the frenzy of the Baal worshippers, they began to disfigure their bodies, as we see from this scripture in 1 Kings 18, verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. So they were mutilating themselves with cuttings and markings. Another scripture, and why were they doing that? Because they were trying to invoke the power of their demon idols, their false gods. That's why they were doing that. So we're starting to see how the tattooing and the cuttings and the piercings are going to intertwine themselves with actual witchcraft practices. Another scripture that warns us not to disfigure our bodies is Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness on your foreheads for the dead. When it speaks here about doing this in relation to the dead, this was a witchcraft rite done to mourn or remember their dead. So cutting, piercing, and tattooing have its origin in witchcraft practices. The verse below reveals a connection between foreign gods and earrings. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 2 through 4, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Perhaps a more well-known scripture having to do with earrings is the record of the children of Israel falling into rebellion and worshiping the golden calf while Moses was up in the mount with God receiving the Ten Commandments. Here we find they took their earrings and cast them into the fire and made a golden idol out of them, which greatly displeased the Lord. Let's pause here and see what happened. Moses is on top of the mountain, talking to God, getting the Ten Commandments. And the people are down at the base of the mountain. They're not hearing from Moses, their leader, so they go into a panic of sorts. And they start doing things that are not peaceable and patient. And they craft for themselves this golden calf, this idol. And how quickly they disconnected themselves from God and started attributing the supernatural powers that God was doing to a false god that they made from their earrings. And so I think it's important to check ourselves. If we don't hear from God for a certain period of time, are we also inclined at some level to go off course in that manner, to start attributing what God has done with other things than God? So I think it's important to maybe reflect on that also, to stay in communion with the Father. Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 and 3. Did I read that already? No, okay. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. There is one specific verse in the Old Testament which uses the Hebrew word lakesh, which is a word specifically associated with witchcraft. Here, the jewelry is used as an amulet to cast a spell. In other words, when it says in Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 and 3, Aaron's saying, give me all your earrings and amulets and jewelry from your whole family members. The word amulets there is that lakash word that we're explaining. It's a word specifically associated with witchcraft. It wasn't just a nice necklace. It was an actual amulet that had inscriptions on it. And it was demonic in nature. It was laden with witchcraft. And it was more than just an amulet of a demonic power. It was actually a word that's used to describe a muttering or a whispering to invoke a demonic spirit or the power of a demonic spirit. So if you look that up in cross-references or commentaries, it'll explain that to you. And actually, an interesting side note is that more than just a Hebrew root word, this is actually in mainstream media. If anyone has seen, I forget which one it is, but there's a Harry Potter movie where the scene is that he's having a sparring contest between him and another student, and the snake comes out and he starts doing that lakash word action, whispering and muttering witchcraft prayer curses to soothe and control a snake. So it's actually in mainstream media. It's a real thing, and they're doing it. So they were doing it in the movie, and they were doing it back then at the time when the scripture is explaining. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 18. And that, now this is, God is saying what he's prophesying what he's going to do in future days. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets, the sashes, the perfume boxes, and the amulets, the signet rings and nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks, and the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans, and the veils. God is going to remove these things. Why is he doing this? This is what makes it spiritually dangerous for people. People not realizing that this opens the door for satanic attack because they have a mark or an opening which allows the enemy entrance in their lives. Today, this practice is growing because of false religions and pagan influences infiltrating the church. Many of our young people are getting body piercings and tattoos out of a spirit of rebellion against their parents' advice. Many men are also wearing earrings to make a statement of their rebellion by showing that they are macho or homosexual. This is going on because the youth of our day are despising and rebelling against their parents. This is very displeasing to the Lord, as one of the Ten Commandments in the Bible is to honor our parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And again in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. In all things. In all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God is pleased, and you receive God's favor when you are obedient to your parents in all things. You don't necessarily have to understand why you need to do it. You just need to do it. Time will teach you why you ought to have done those things. And reality will agree with you in those reasons. Some complain and say that most of the women today in our society wear pierced earrings, and they attempt to use this as an excuse for the bizarre body piercings they are flaunting. In other words, you may have somebody that has some pretty extreme, unnatural piercings, and they try to justify themselves by saying, well, this person over here has their ears pierced, and they're the pastor, so therefore I can do this. No. And we're about to understand why that's a no. The Lord always judges what we do by our motives as he looks at the heart. It is a different matter. Okay, this is where it's okay. It's a different matter when women wear pierced earrings as a custom without the rebellion and pride attached to it. However, this could even be wrong if women are filled with vanity and pride over their appearance. So it's variable and it's dependent upon the condition of your heart. Why do you want the piercings? Why do you want the tattoos? This is what God is looking at. And this is where he's weighing whether it's right or wrong according to your conscience based on what you know and the motive of your heart. These are the conditions where God judges a person's motives, actions, and intentions. In fact, the Bible speaks, I'll read this again. It is a different matter when women wear pierced earrings as a custom, without the rebellion and pride attached to it. However, this could even be wrong if women are filled with vanity and pride over their appearance. Remember, God looks at our heart attitudes. You will have a good indicator of whether or not you are walking in vanity or pride about your appearance if that is consuming more of your time, more of your attention, if it's creating more of a desire in you than what you would have for God. God should come first, and the things of God first, before these other activities, before these other practices. And the desire should be greater for God in us than for these types of practices. In fact, the Bible speaks of a generation of women that will be alive at the coming of the Lord, that will be judged severely for their flirting and their haughtiness. So this tells us that as the end times approach and the second coming of Jesus occurs, whenever that is, there's going to be a group of people alive at that time that are going to be severely chastised and punished. For what? Their flirting and their haughtiness. Let us look again at the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 through 24. The Lord says, the women of Zion, okay, not the heathen down the street or the prostitute, the women of Zion are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores. All right, before we get into that, let's pause there. Do you see what these women are doing? Now, remember, it's the motive in the heart. It's what they're feeling inside and the reason why they're doing this. They're being haughty. They're being flirtatious. They're enticing people, perhaps, to do things that are not godly for themselves or for others or with others. So all this is happening. This is what's going on in the heart. And this is what God will do in those circumstances. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores on the heads of the women of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, the earrings, the bracelets and veils, the headdresses and ankle chains and sashes, the perfume bottles and charms, the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and the capes and cloaks, the purses and mirrors, the linen garments and tiaras and shawls. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. And that was Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. So it's pretty clear in the Bible that God does not approve of those types of motives and intentions coupled with those types of actions, you know, donning themselves because of vanity over their appearance. These things are not acceptable. We are living in a day that the Bible speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, I think this is interesting. God just said earlier, the women of Zion, okay, I believe personally that's making a reference to women in the church, okay, because he didn't say Gentile or heathen or any of that. Now, in this scripture here, it says these people who exhibited all of those traits have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I also believe personally that that is a representation of people that go to church. They have a form of godliness. They look godly because they go to church. They say and do all the right things, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the Holy Spirit's willingness and ability to transform their heart to conform to the image of Christ. They stop that from happening with these attributes that they live by and exhibit. And it says here, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. They sit in the house of God and they learn and learn and learn, but it never clicks. It never sinks into place and activates. And it says from such people, you have to be very careful. Don't associate with these people. Please ask God before you do anything. If you have been one that has been led away by lust or have been rebellious against your parents, you can come to the Lord and repent, and he will give you a new start and a desire to live a holy and obedient life unto God. We should remove anything that portrays rebellion and ask the Lord to forgive us and give us a submissive heart. Now, touching back on the fact that some people had gotten piercings or tattoos before they knew that the Bible said, don't do that. Now, these types of people, God can use each of us, even if we have tattoos on our body or piercings everywhere. They may have had that before, but God can touch them and clean them up now and use them to minister to that generation, to minister to the lost and dying, the harvest that's coming into the church. They want to know more about God. And they need to know that Jesus is not condemning them. Jesus loves them and accepts them and can use them to reach out to other people who have piercings and tattoos or whatever else the issue is. God can use you as a vessel to reach out and touch those people. Maybe they won't listen to somebody that doesn't have tattoos or piercings because their mindset is, you're a Bible-thumping goody-two-shoes and I don't really want to listen to anything you have to say. That's entirely possible. And that's where this other people group comes into play. That's where God can use people with tattoos. But here's the other thing. There's a lot of teaching going on out there where other pastors and leaders are saying, go ahead and get tattoos so that you can minister to these people. And that is not okay. That is not okay. Once you know that the Word of God says, don't do this, that you can't do that, or it's a sin to you because you knew better. You knew the Word of God. So we should not be getting tattoos to minister to the world that's coming in with tattoos. That is not how it works. I would also like to say that there are those in ministry who already have tattoos because of a previous worldly lifestyle, and they should not be come against. They should not be looked down or frowned upon because God is using them in that capacity. He's using them in that position to reach the lost and the dying. And really, it's all about souls anyway, so who cares who's being used as long as the soul is being ministered to. Pastor Barbara herself has personally spoken to people that have tattoos all over their bodies. And those people have explained to her that they've been in prison for some extended periods of time, and that's their life story. They got those tattoos in prison. That's basically a storybook on their body that tells people, this is what I've been through, this is what I've done, and these are the things that have happened in my life. And people don't mess with them when they see, oh, I see different things you've done and how far down the hole you've gone, so to speak. They don't mess with them. And really, in a similar way, people should be able to look at us even if we don't have tattoos or piercings. And our lives, our characters, should be a book that they can read. How are we treating other people? How do we interact with people that are in the church and people that are not in the church? How do we act when we're at church and how do we act when we're at home? This should be an open book for people to see, to be able to judge our fruit and our character and to read our life story. Jesus does not condemn us, but rather will help us. He loves us and invites us to a wonderful life in Him. One note of warning to the church on this subject of body piercings. We have a generation now of young people that love the Lord, yet do not understand all of His ways. Soon we are also going to be seeing a great revival among the youth of the world. The youth of this day want a real cause to live and die for. They are so hungry and desperate for something solid and stable to just take and go with. Because out there in society nowadays, you don't have that. You just don't have it. It's not like it was decades ago or generations ago where you had a solid fundamental principle to live by, like morals and values and stuff. I don't watch cartoons, but when I happen to see them, it's like everything's scripted. You only have my attention for 3 seconds. Say everything, make everything happen real quick, and then go to the next scene. And it's like you almost have a seizure, an epileptic episode, trying to watch a cartoon show nowadays. And it's like, you know, it's like sensory input overload. And this is how society is today, sensory input overload. Anything that's a trend is going to last about a week, and then it's over with, and now we're on to the next thing. Sometimes those trends cost hundreds of dollars, and they'll die if they don't get it, and then it's out the door in a week. But this is how it is, and it shouldn't be this way. But this is why the youth generation nowadays has a mentality of, I just want something that's not going to change. I want something that's stable, that's always going to be there. It's always going to exist. It's not going to fade over time. And what they're looking for is God. And see, and God wants them. He wants to draw them in. So this is why we as the church today have to understand who it is that's coming in the door, So we can properly minister to them in the love of Christ and teach them and show them the ways of the Lord. We just read a moment ago, they love the Lord, but they don't fully understand His ways. So we need to lovingly teach them about his ways so that they can fully develop in the Lord. Most have not seen true Christianity, talking about the youth generation. However, when they do come to Christ, many will be bringing their tattoos, their dress, their music, and old habits with them right into the church. We must be sure that we do not despise them nor look down on them, but rather welcome and love them and gently teach them the ways of the Lord. There's two issues that I see with the body of Christ in regards to when worldly people come in the door. On the one hand, you have a people group that is inclined to judge them for how they look, how they dress, or how they smell, or whatever the situation is. And then on the other hand, you have another people group that wants to be afraid of them. Don't let your witchcraft touch me. I don't want your demons to reach out and suck my soul out with a straw. We can't be afraid of this because you're not able to minister to the person properly if you're walking in fear or if you're walking in judgmental criticism. So this is why we have to be stable and grounded today so that when they come in the door, we're covered. Jesus sat down at a table with sinners and tax collectors, which, you know, in today's terms, it's like he sat down with members of the government. He sat down with politicians and senators and ate and drank with them. He took bread from their hand and ate it. He didn't die. Come on. We are called to love and pray for them and help them avoid making some of the mistakes that we have made in our own walk with the Lord. That's called vicarious experience, when someone else learns from a mistake that somebody else made. They didn't go through it themselves, but they learned from someone who did. That's vicarious experience. We should be doing that with the people that come in. Give them a warning. Say, hey, I noticed that this is happening. You know, the Holy Spirit led me and prompted me to talk to you about this. And there's disaster up ahead. If you continue in this habit, this bad thing will happen. I know because I've done that and I've been there. And I just want to admonish you that this is the way to go and walk in it and to help people in that way. We need to be true mothers and fathers to them. Yes, we must speak the truth in love, but let us make sure we are loving them and not condemning them. On the other hand, we must not accept all that they would desire to bring with them that would harm them and compromise the Word of God. So, on the other hand, there's going to be times you have to lovingly confront the person and say, I'm sorry, but this is where we draw the line. We can't compromise the Word of God, and this right here, this particular thing, we can't accept this. You have to change that. It's just our job to tell them the Word. This is what the Word of God says, and take it or leave it. And then it's on them what they do with it. We will all need God's grace to bridge the generation gap. Bottom line, in regard to body piercings, would be to ask the popular youth slogan, what would Jesus do? I don't believe we will ever see Jesus with any body piercings that he placed on himself. I can't imagine Jesus with a tongue ring or a navel piercing. I really can't. The only scars on his body are the nail-pierced hands and feet put there by the evil men that crucified him. They were not self-inflicted. Overcomers will put away the little foxes that led to bigger compromises. Going back to the very beginning of the teaching, the little foxes could be, I just want a tattoo. I want a tattoo of a cross. I want a tattoo that says Jesus. These are little foxes that can develop into greater compromises later. Editor's note. We are including a testimony of a former Hindu who knows only too well that body piercings and tattoos are a form of witchcraft. Now, this gentleman, this Hindu person that's giving his testimony, he says, I am from Malaysia, and I truly enjoy the Overcoming Life Digest. Although I enjoy reading all the articles, I find the Little Foxes enlightening and informative. Last Friday, when I entered the GCN chat room, they were discussing about tattoo and piercing the tongue. One of the believers there was telling them it was wrong for Christians to have tattoos. Since I was formerly a Hindu, I know tattoos is from Hinduism and also witchcraft. Also, Hindus pierce their tongue with small spears and prick the entire body with little hooks and go into trances. I have witnessed this personally, but praise God, I never took after any of these rituals, even when I was Hindu. Praise God, I managed to convince a few about this evil of tattoo. One of them asked me for scripture verses, which I promised I would send. Now, see, here's the thing where this guy understands, at least in that region, in that field, these tattoos are rooted in these types of witchcraft practices. And we learn from the Bible that word lakem, which basically is used to denote an actual witchcraft practice, actual witchcraft objects and amulets. And we've seen this in mainstream TV. They act this stuff out. And so this is why it's so important. And I can't stress enough, if you didn't know any better and you got tattoos or you got piercings or whatever, Jesus is not condemning you. In fact, the way to look at it, really, I believe, is that this is an extra opportunity that you have in the Lord to be used to minister to other people, to help them have the understanding of God's ways, to be able to minister to people who have tattoos or that want tattoos, and you could explain to them, no, you really don't, because you're opening the doorways for demonic spirits to enter into your life and torment you and oppress you. And so God can always heal and deliver a person, but we want to save people from having to go through that if possible. We want to spare them from going through those types of afflictions if we can. Father, we just thank you right now. We give you all honor and glory, and we thank you for your anointing that was upon this teaching. We thank you, God, that your holy angels will go to and fro to each one of us. Let us all be covered in a blanket of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the truth and the purpose of your words sink deep into our hearts, God, to take root. And we thank you, God. God, we ask right now that you would release a portion of your glory to touch each one of us, God, to strengthen and fortify us in our spirit, in our heart, and in our minds, God, to be well-balanced, to be equipped, to minister to the harvest that you're bringing in to your church, into your houses, all across the land. We pray and ask, God, for wisdom and discernment, for understanding of your ways, for your love and your compassion that you would want expressed to your people that you're bringing into your house. And we thank you, God, that you're depositing within us now the balance, the equilibrium to go forth and to minister and to speak the truth in love to each one of the souls that you place before each one of us and in your houses. And Father, as we receive from your goodness, as we receive and touch your glory, God, we thank you, we honor you, and we magnify your name alone for all that you are doing for us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.